We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to John chapter 12 and read again at verse 32. Verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. When the Lord Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary, there came wise men from the east, and they were asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And now, when the Lord Jesus is about to die, there are men from the west, the Greeks, who come to Philip and say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That was their desire. We would see Jesus. Is this our desire tonight? Is this our desire this week? Is it our desire in view of an approaching communion season? Well, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And how does the Lord respond? Verse 23, he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Yes, the Lord Jesus is glorified when sinners come to him. And Christ is now seeing the fruit of his work on earth. But he knows that this glory that he will have will be by the way of the cross. He must die if there is to be fruit. As he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Yes, the seed must be planted beneath the soil. It must be out of sight. It must, in that sense, die if there is to be fruit. And so the Lord Jesus must die if there is to be the fruit, and that being sinners coming to him. And the Lord Jesus exemplifies this principle in his own case when he says in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." That's what we have considered not long ago, that if we try to save our natural life at the expense of disowning Christ, we will lose our life for eternity. But if we are willing to forego or to give up our natural life, if we're willing to die for the Savior, if called to, then we will have our spiritual, eternal life. And the Lord Jesus himself exemplified that principle. It was illustrated in his own life and death. And so this will be for all of his followers. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And that's the law of the kingdom. If we exalt ourselves, we will be humiliated. But if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. So the Lord Jesus gives his life in order to do the will of the Father. He gives his life, even though for a moment he recoils in view of the death he was going to die. For a moment he shrinks from all that his suffering involves. As we read in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled." My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? "Father, save me from this hour." It's very similar to when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then it is to show, all of this is in order to show how awful was the self-sacrifice he was going to offer. But he immediately makes it plain that he knows perfectly that he came for this very purpose of enduring the sufferings of the cross. He came to save sinners. He was willing to suffer and die for them, willing to do all of this in obeying the will of the Father. He will do the will of the Father. He will accomplish the purpose that he came for, and he will be glorified. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Christ will be glorified. And coming down to our text, Jesus says, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That is how much Jesus will be glorified. So glorious will he be. He will draw all men to himself. When he dies, he will attract a multitude which no man can number. The Son of Man is glorified. He will be glorified. He will be exalted by a multitude being saved. He will have all his children. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Are we drawn to Christ? What think ye of Christ? Are you attracted to him? Are you attracted to his glory, to his loveliness? When you consider him dying on the cross for sinners, what is your reaction? What is your response? Do you say, well, it's interesting. It's a very nice story. It makes perfect sense. I can see the logic of it. Jesus was very determined when he died on the cross. Very good example for us. My friend, if that's all you can say, if that's the only reaction you have, then you don't have the evidence as children. You don't have any evidence. I don't care. If you're ready to say, Christ crucified, this is all my salvation and all my desire, well, there is the evidence of being one of the children of God. Yes, the cross of Christ has had the proper effect upon you. It has drawn you. It has attracted you. When you think about Christ, your heart goes to him. Your heart rests upon him in some way, not as often perhaps as you like. But you know that you cannot live without Christ. You know in a measure what it means when the Savior says, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, for a little while we want to consider three things. As the Lord may be pleased to help us, that is first, the lifting up of Christ. This means, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth. Secondly, the attraction of the cross. I will draw all men unto me. And thirdly, the evidence of grace. If you're drawn to Christ, you have the evidence of grace in your heart. So first, we begin with the lifting of Christ. Him speak, and they asked him, Who is this that must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They were hearing from the law, verse 34, that Christ divided the law. And yet Jesus is saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? And probably referring to verse 23, when the Lord Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Well, the Jews knew exactly what Jesus meant when he said the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man, of course, is referring to himself. And they knew that the Son of Man meant Christ, referring to Daniel chapter 7. But at the same time, they are saying that Christ abides forever. Perhaps they were thinking of Psalm 110, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. what Jesus was saying, that he is calling himself, or he's referring to the Son of Man, and they're obviously saying, who is this Son of Man? But they knew what the Son of Man meant, and that is Christ. But on the other hand, Christ must die. Jesus is saying the Son of Man must be lifted up. And they knew what that meant. The Son of Man must die. And indeed, the apostle says that Jesus is signifying what death he should die, verse 33. That death that he would die was the death of crucifixion. That cruel death invented by the Romans, or at least borrowed by the Romans from another, I think, the Syrophoenicians, and a death that they used for the slaying or the executing of criminals. Stretching out the arms and piercing the hands and feet and nailing the limbs to the wood of the tree. First the person was scourged, then in the case of the Blessed Savior, he was mocked, derided, taunted, and he was pierced in his hands and feet. As the psalmist says in Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet. And at the same time, we must not forget that there was much more than physical suffering in the death of Christ, that he was enduring the very wrath of God. And he says there in Psalm 22, I am poured out like water. He says, Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And this is included in this lifting up, which is referring to his crucifixion. But when Paul is saying that he glories in the cross, he is glorying in the man Christ Jesus who suffered on the cross. We're not to be confused and say, well, how do we glory in a cross? It's not the cross itself. It's the one who died that death on the cross. We're looking to Jesus who was crucified. When you hear about the cross, you're to think of Jesus who suffered all the sufferings for the salvation of sinners. His being mocked by men, his being assaulted by the devil, and his suffering, the wrath of God. And it was his obedience, even to the extent of dying, that is the basis of the salvation of sinners. In his love to his people, he drank the bitter cup, all that was in the cup. And he did that. He suffered all that was in the cup, everything that was assigned him, in order to fulfill the requirements of the law, in order to pay the price that divine justice demanded for the salvation of his people. And he did this, as we said, in obedience to the will of his Father. The Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians in Acts chapter 17, verse 3, that Christ must needs have suffered. It was necessary for him to suffer. Why? To fulfill the purpose of God. And the Lord Jesus himself says in John chapter 3 and verse 15, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be lifted up. He must be crucified. Why must Jesus be crucified? Because he was doing the will of the Father. For this reason, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see yourself a perishing sinner? There is hope for you, friend, because that's why Jesus died. God sent his Son for this reason, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There is hope for us, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you feel lost? Are you content to do nothing about it? To just sit there in your lostness and despair? Cry out, friend. Cry out, lost, lost. And do you not think the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost? Do you think he will not hear your prayer? Of course he will. For the prayer of the destitute he surely will regard. Cry out to him. He is the hearer of prayer. Well, we come in the second place briefly to consider that the time that's remaining, the attraction of the cross. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It is not only after he is crucified that he will draw all men to himself, but it is through the virtue of his being lifted up that he will draw sinners to himself. It is the cross that attracts sinners. Again, not the cross itself, not the two pieces of wood transfixed, but the man who died on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But it is through his dying on the cross that the virtue goes out to draw sinners to himself. And this is essential, friends. I tell you, it is essential. Don't forget it. It's the cross. I don't know how many times I've asked a person, what is it that Jesus did that saves the sinner? Oh, he was born laid in the manger? No. What did Jesus do to save sinners that if he didn't do, nobody could be saved? He must die. He was crucified in order to purchase salvation. Yes, many things are interesting. The creation of the world. We think about the interesting facts of the Bible. Jonah and the whale, David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den. But we need Christ crucified. It's interesting and it's helpful and instructive to know about the calling of Abraham, the preparation of the people of Israel for the coming of Messiah. But we need to know that Jesus died for sinners. It is Christ crucified, which is the divine magnet to draw sinners. We must look upon him that we might be drawn to him. We must believe in him that we might be saved by him. Yes, they shall upon me when they hear. Look to Christ. He's perfect. All our guilt. All our sin. Right. Spotless. Righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Christ alone by faith alone. Well, three brief points about the attraction of the cross, the cross as it of Christ, the one who died on the cross, drawing sinners. It is the divine purchase. Christ dying on the cross is how he purchased deliverance from wrath. He saved sinners from the curse by being made a curse. So in the cross, we see the purchase of sinners, delivering them from the wrath of God, saving them from their sin. But also in the cross we see the divine power, because by the Spirit sinners are drawn to Christ. It is by the cross that the Spirit is secured, So Jesus died on the cross to secure the gift of the Spirit. And because he died on the cross, he sends the Spirit to work in the heart, to convince us of our sin, to enlighten our minds in the knowledge of Christ, to renew our wills, to persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. So the Spirit comes through the cross. Jesus died to secure the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit comes through the cross. And so because of this, we say the cross is the divine power to draw sinners. But also, the cross is the divine, we might say, persuasion or means, the divine means of drawing sinners. Because not only did the cross purchase the salvation of sinners, not only is the cross the power of God to save sinners, but again, it's by looking to the cross. It's by hearing of the cross, hearing about Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. That's the means of drawing sinners to Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Jesus is evidently set forth crucified among you. You're hearing of him, and in your mind's eye you see Jesus dying for sinners. Wounded, bleeding, suffering, pouring out his soul in agony upon the cross, and you're hearing of that, and you're thinking upon it, and your heart's drawn to Christ. Mysteriously, you don't know how, but I feel my heart going to Christ when I hear about him dying on the cross for sinners. Well, yes, because the cross is the means, but also by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit using the means of hearing of Christ to work in your heart to come to Christ so that you may be saved. So the cross is the divine purchase, the divine power, the divine persuasion. In other words, the means of grace to persuade through the means, through the word of the cross, to persuade sinners as well as enable them to come to the Savior. Yes, the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, does not work upon the sinner apart from the cross, apart from the word that reveals the cross. No, he uses the preaching of Christ crucified to draw sinners to himself. So, Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." In the third place, then, the evidence of grace. Are we drawn to Christ? If so, we're saved. We're his people. How do I know I'm drawn to Christ? Well, we're going to give a few marks of grace, which we've given many times. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." If we're drawn to Christ, we're drawn to him who is altogether lovely. And to us, he is the pearl of great price. He is the chiefest among 10,000. There is no greater feat that has been accomplished than what Christ did. And that's not just an intellectual conclusion that we have made, but we feel that. Christ crucified is altogether lovely. Words cannot describe what we feel about the man Christ Jesus who died on the cross. And maybe you're here today saying, "I can't speak for him." And I try to say something, but it doesn't come out right. But I know that I want to live for him. I almost feel I could die for him. Hasn't that been said before? Do you feel that in a measure? At times, your heart being drawn to the one who is altogether lovely. But remember, you might be asking, how do I know that he's precious to me? I think he's precious to me. Well, there's always this test. If Jesus is precious to you, something is going to be hateful to you. You can't love Jesus and sin too. You can't love Christ and feel indifferent about sin and that which is hostile to Christ. If Christ is precious to you, sin will be bitter to you. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember the African woman who said, "He die, me no die." But she also said this, "I weep very much." Why would she weep if she knew she didn't have to die? Because Jesus died for her. Why did she still weep? For one reason. Because of her sin. And she felt sad about her sin still in her. And the sin that she had committed, which she knew was forgiven, still grieved her because she had so offended God and wounded her blessed Savior. I weep very much. There will be Christ, wanting to be near Him, wanting to know more of Him. There will be prayer, calling upon God. There will be desire to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. I want to know Him more. I want to have fellowship with Him. Tell Christ who He is and His God. Satisfy you. Communion with Christ. And dependence on Christ. I need Christ, or I'm lost. I must have Christ, or I have the strength to do my duty. Christ is to me my spiritual meat and drink. I desire to be spiritually nourished by Christ and grow in grace by Him. And finally, the Savior said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Yes, this obedience is evidence of love. Do we really love Christ? Lots of people say, "Oh, so and so loves the Lord." All right. Diligently? Does she seek to keep God's commandments? Does she laugh about sin? Well, that doesn't sound like she loves Christ. Obedience is the test. Are we willing to follow Christ? Are we willing Him to the last? First things first. Are we obeying Him when He says, "This do in remembrance of me"? Are we seeking grace to obey His dying command? For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do. Is it our desire to stand on His side? We feel timid, but are we praying for boldness? For loyalty to the captain of our salvation, that we would be on His side, as we heard in the prayer, that we might be able to say with Paul about the Savior, "Whose I am and whom I serve." Well, finally, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." We need to focus upon Christ. You're here to say, you're here and you're saying, "I feel lost. I don't think I'm one of God's children. What must I do to be saved? I need my heart drawn to Christ. Where does it begin?" Well, friend, you will not be drawn to Christ. You will not be attracted to Christ if you're not thinking about Him, if you're not praying, if you're not hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Read God's Word. Think about Jesus. Have thoughts in your mind about Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Go home to your closet, get on your knees, and say, "Lord, Thou art a priest." And the priest makes intercession not for righteous people, but for sinners. And He died for the ungodly. "Lord, why not me? Save me on the basis of what Christ did." So by thinking about Christ and praying to Him and asking Him to help you to believe in Him, wait upon Him earnestly and expect grace from the promise that would enable you to close with Christ, because He is merciful, able and willing, and all things are possible to him that believeth. Come, for the gift of God if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and there is no question, he would have given thee living water. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus is a winning Savior, a wooing Savior, a giving Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. May he bless his word. Let us pray.